Hey, listen up. We got another episode of Wisecracks, featuring the crack man himself, Bill Krakenberger, and our co-host, John Orlando, straight from Las Vegas. Wisecracks is your ticket inside the world of sports betting, with tips, picks, special guests, and more, only on WSN.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Wisecracks. We got the big guy back in studio where he belongs, Bill Krakenberger. Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Everything's cool. You guys gave me that little coffee he's had for a week.
I might have a little tinge of it still.
Again?
Yeah.
Or still?
No, it went away and then it came back like 3 days ago.
Wow.
Travis says it's something in the air. He told me what it was. He sent me a link. I just don't remember what it's called.
I haven't been sick in 4 years, so it just I'm a vitamin nut.
Right.
So it was gone in 3 days. I'm feeling good.
I like that.
Yeah.
Big topic number one: the coin flipping guy has. Oh, by the way, we're not going to introduce him yet, but we have a huge guest in studio now.
Yeah. Cool.
Huge guest.
Fantastic.
Just a few feet away from us, but we will stay tuned and we'll tell you who that is shortly. But big topic number one, the coin flipping guy passed away. Is that what happened?
So listen, I wasn't around a lot to talk about this guy for years.
Yeah.
Only because not allowed, this guy had a craft. He was literally the best coin flipping guy in the world.
Explain to the people, I know we've talked about it before, but explain to the people,
first of all,
what do you mean by that?
Because
it sounds crazy, right?
He would go around to pool halls and know the gambling, by the way, all over the world, but mostly in the States, And I watched this guy win so much money flipping coins.
Really?
And my friend who you know, my friend down in Myrtle Beach.
Yep.
He introduced me to him. And this guy would go around to he beat a car dealer out of two Cadillacs. I mean, he put $100,000 up against a $55,000 Cadillac. He would tell you to bring your own coins. I don't want to touch nothing. Just bring your own coins and you flip the coin. I mean,
how?
This guy was a genius. This guy was a big, big gambler.
Predict a coin toss, Bill?
No, it was something. There was something, whether
you
it was
see
the angle of the coin, something. But because I know the last 5 years, he couldn't do it at night as much. He needed light.
So he needed to see.
So he was only doing it in the daytime or outside.
He had
or
eagle eyes or something, and he could see where it's
so
at.
I put a tweet up, and RIP to the best coin flipper in the world with a picture of me and him. Things I've seen this man do with coins. He would tell you to use your own coins, won millions of dollars. He would lay 6-5. That would be the first thing. You go to a pool halls and or pool tournaments, really, around the pool players. And so many people he beat, including some of the sharpest people in sports. And sure enough, I have 100,000 views on that already.
Wow.
And
did he ever lose? Did you ever see him lose?
You'd only lose if he wanted to set
to
something
sandbag
up.
You.
Yeah.
Wow.
He lose to set you up. A really sharp guy I know, my friend Abe, who I didn't even know, I didn't tell him about it. I just put a tweet up. Abe Basin, by the way, all Abes I know are really sharp, by the way. I don't know why. It just happens to be that way. The last I heard of this guy was around 8 or 9 years ago. I had heard some young poker players lost a couple hundred grand to him, to some old guy flipping coins at the Bellagio. I knew it could only be him. So Abe also said something that I thought was really cool. Early 90s, me and a friend lost $10,000 to this guy. He was standing 150 feet away. We were flipping coins and covering it with a waste paper basket before the coin hit the ground. I have no idea what he did, but he did something. So, my response to that was, Abe and his friends have been getting the best of things when they gamble for 50 years. By them losing money to the flipper speaks volumes to the extent of the art of his craft.
Wow.
So he was a really good guy. He was out here in Vegas a couple times with me. I just spoke to him about 2 months ago.
How did he die? Just old age?
Yeah, no, he had a lot of health problems.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, so, but anyway, my condolences to his family, his son. I know
Sorry
his son,
to hear
Seth.
That.
And yeah, so. Anyway, just, you know, when you see someone win on anything, especially there's a coin flipping up in the air.
Sounds like he was one of a kind.
Listen,
I mean, have
his
you
hands
ever
were
seen
like
anyone
butter.
Like that before?
His hands were like butter, too.
Really?
Like butter. I mean, his hands were. His real grand finale when he was trying to win something was he would flip a coin. No. He would take five of my quarters. He would take four of the quarters. I would flip one up, hold it, go like this, and he would say, okay. He would shake them in his hand, and all five were the same.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, you know, I mean, he was like the guy we had on this show.
Right.
O's.
Yeah.
Guessing people's...
O's Perlman.
Yeah,
right?
O's Perlman. Yeah, no.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I just wanted to say about that. Topic two, we're going to talk about some future talk, NFL future talk.
Yeah.
You know, we're automatically, right after, like, the Super... Even during the Super Bowl, or next year's odds to win the Super Bowl is already up, but... Like, DraftKings has some funky stuff up there.
Yeah.
Our producer Robert said Trey Lance to win MVP 35-1, Brock Purdy 75-1. He took the 75-1. It's I don't like Matt was saying earlier. I don't know if Brock Purdy's going to be playing the first week of football. So it looks like a nice 75-1 shot, but I think it should probably even be more than that. But hey, it's a fun route for the year. You put a little peanut bet on it.
Yeah,
I understand. Now he says something. Any value in betting the NFL Combine? A wide range of bets available. Wow, I'll tell you, betting the Combine. I can't believe they even have stuff like up. You know, DraftKings, who lost $500 million plus in a quarter here.
In a quarter?
Yeah, in a quarter. They lost $500 million. I don't, you know, maybe they should look to...
How can you afford to do that?
I don't know. It's a public company. Their stock was $70. It went down to $12 or something like that. It's up to like 18 now. I don't even know how you can lose $500 million in a quarter. Everyone loses. No one wins. No, I'm serious. I'm not...
Right.
Nobody wins. I mean, long term, there's only a few...
Right.
Their
marketing spend is insane, right?
That's what it is. About myself and my percentage of people like me. It's a very minute percentage, but nobody wins. 99.9 lose.
And, right.
I don't get it.
I think their problem is they're not losing the books. It's not that the books are losing.
No, they're blaming the books, too. I know for a fact.
Really?
Yeah, they're blaming some people inside the risk and trade department to, like, you know.
Come on, really? They're spending like crazy. I mean, turn on the TV.
Look at the guys
for 10 minutes.
You can't not.
You will see DraftKings. I don't care what channel.
By the way, they're hiring like the top guys too.
Right.
Top. You're paying millions and millions and millions.
They should
of dollars.
Be paying us for this show.
My God, no
I
kidding. I mean, millions and millions and millions of dollars. So anyway, combine betting. Wow, it's
a lot of opportunity, though.
It just
there,
sounds
right?
like it's easily could be corruptible. I'm just saying.
Right.
You know, I don't know. They might not be taking big bets on it, but
to get some info?
Well, to get info, the NFL draft and the NBA draft's been worth, you know, six figures to me each of the last couple of years. So
yeah,
it's been really profitable to me. Then finally, DraftKings finally threw me out, and I'm allowed to bet at the counter, but no more on the app. But they were very good to me. I'll tell you right now. I have no complaints because I was literally stealing on a couple things. And they were very, very good to me. So healthy six-figure profit.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, let's go on to number three.
Yeah, I have a question for you. What is better betting preseason, MLB or NFL?
I would say, you know, preseason NFL for the actual season itself. That month of August, which we used to have four games. I think we have three now. Last year we had three. I'm sure we're having three this year. I haven't checked, but I'm sure that's what it is. Those 3 weeks are really profitable. Really good weeks. I wish we had that here already. Betting-wise.
Right.
I'm actually glad to have baseball here, though. Because I love baseball.
I love it.
And now with this, you know, I don't think, did we mention the new rule? The pitch clock thing?
Have we mentioned? No, but have you seen games are ending on weird stuff, man? It's weird.
Have you seen the pitch clock?
Yes.
On the thing when the pitcher sees that?
Yes.
15, 14, 30, I think it's 15 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes for a faster game. Are they trying? Now, you think about it. You would think they wouldn't want a faster game like that because they could sell more beer and pretzels and hot dogs.
It's
all about TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's an interesting new concept to the games, and you're right. There's some weird endings, and I'm looking forward to you know, sitting back, kicking back, watching a baseball game, maybe going to Petco or something, and just.
I'm coming with you.
I know every year. I didn't go last year.
Okay.
I didn't go last year.
Like verbally binding. I'm gonna fine you off my tally.
I got some first
off my line. I'm fining you off my line. If I see you, if I hear of you being at Del Mar and I'm not there, or Petco Park,
you're right.
Fine.
You're right. No,
you will face
nothing better than going
sanctioned.
To Petco. You can get like a first row ticket for like $50. You know, I seen the Yankees there, $50 first row.
Just that's insane.
Bought the ticket the day of the game. Just sick on the, you know. Anyway,
yeah.
By the way, that's the way I always want to say about buying tickets to almost anything.
I'm a last minute.
I'm a last minute
guy.
Yeah,
it's better.
I'm a last minute guy. You wave $100 bills in someone's face. Yeah. Usually they're so scared.
They can't play hardball anymore because they don't want to eat it. This might be the last guy to try to get the ticket or I got to eat it. Yeah. Right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Let's talk about my last Saturday night, this past Saturday night.
Okay.
I went to the UFC fight here at the Apex.
Nice.
And my buddy was fighting.
Okay.
And that buddy is in studio as we speak, Bill Krakenberger. We are joined today by the future 125 champ of the UFC. That's right. I'm calling it out right now. The future. He was on another podcast in this exact building last week, and he guaranteed victory.
Nice.
Last Thursday, the Thursday before he fought, he was on the Sex, Lies, and Lawyers podcast here, and he guaranteed victory, and he did exactly that on Saturday night. And I speak of Oday Osborne is with us today.
What's up, man?
What's going on?
I do have to say one thing.
Yeah.
I feel like you can't say I'm your guest anymore. It just doesn't count.
You're here so much.
I'm here all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here all the time. I might as well have a bed in the back room. Like
you're here as much as Dana White says I'm at the Apex. Every time I'm at the Apex, Dana's like, do I just need to get you credentials at this point?
Yeah,
like, why are we putting you on a list? I told him, I need keys to this place.
Do you live around the corner, Oday? Is that what it is? Or?
Yeah, I live right down the road. And the UFC's building is right there. I'm always at the PI.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And Oday does his podcast here as well. He's got his podcast.
Speaking of, I just got done fighting, so that means I'm going full on in on this podcast. Now I have a whole list, and I'm going to give, you know, a sneak preview of my, you know, I got Forrest Griffin coming in, Misha Tate, Cody Garbrandt.
Wow.
I got some good stuff for season two.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Bill, I can't tell you the anxiety, even though I'm confident he's going to win. It's so crazy when you, like, you know Jake, but did you ever go see Jake fight?
Yeah, plenty of times.
Okay, so you felt it, right? Yeah. Like, it's like you want them to win so bad.
Oh, yeah.
And it's nerve-wracking, and I'm sitting there, it's me, Vanessa, and Oday's girlfriend, Tasha, is with us, and I feel like that's the first time she saw you fight live.
No, second.
Okay, second time.
Yes.
You know, she was nervous. She gets to we get to the Apex, and she's like, I'm not having any drinks, nothing to drink. And then all of a sudden, she's got a drink in her hand. Before the fight, it's getting closer. She's like, I need a drink. So she gets a drink, and then the fight starts, and Oday comes out, and Oday just looks crisp. His hands look good. I mean, you looked amazing.
Thank you.
Bill, this guy caught... He caught. I don't know how many. We need to watch the fight again because I want to just count how many times you caught the kick. The guy would try to kick him. Oday would catch the kick.
Oh, wow.
Literally eight to 10 times.
Later tonight, me and Tasha will come over. She can hang out with Vanessa and I'll come out. We'll watch it.
Okay.
I want to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Nice. And then we'll analyze the fight.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was a war, though, Bill. It ended up being a war. I mean, round one. So the judges, it was a split decision. I felt like Oday clearly won rounds one and three. Mm-hmm. You could argue that he actually won all three rounds. Okay. But even if we give round two away, I still don't know how one judge saw it the other way.
Right. And it's crazy because round two, he didn't get any takedowns. I had the more significant strikes in round two. Like I remember, like, you know, it's one of those things in the fight where you kind of take mental notes, you know, and I remember thinking like, you know, round one, when he had me up against the cage, when he kind of did his flurry, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to chill and let him do his thing because there's only a minute left and I already won this round. You know what I mean? So it's kind of certain things you kind of think about in your fight. You know what I mean? And I remember thinking, like, when he's doing his little, like, going crazy at the end of the round, when there's only a minute left. And I'm thinking in my head, like, what are you doing? There's only a minute left. Like, you know, you might as well just let this round waste away now.
You're trying to steal the round or something?
But I already dominated 4 minutes of the round. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that scary how a different one of the other judges can see it 2-1?
It's crazy.
That's scary, man. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like Teddy Atlas always says, though. Teddy Atlas calls that out all the time. And it's scary, man.
Yeah.
It's so
in
scary.
In round, what round was the low blow that you took?
Two.
Round two, he got kicked where no man wants to be kicked real hard.
Oh, wow.
You're allowed to take up to 5 minutes as the timeout for that.
Yes.
Did you take five?
I did. I took five. I not only got kicked in the nuts, but I also got poked in the eye. I got
I actually sent the eye poke picture to Travis. I don't know if you can put that up. I just sent it to you now. Oh. So if you can
scratch
get it up,
great. But if you can't, right? I watched an interview. Yeah.
So behind the scenes after the fight, they did like drops, and you can see like the big scratch, corneal abrasion. But it should go away.
Did you go to the hospital?
Yeah, I went to the ER. It'll go away. Right now, it's getting better every day. I have one of my friends. His name is Mitch Ramirez. He also got PRK. Cynthia Calvillo, she got PRK, and she's had the same thing. They've all had the same thing happen where they've scratched it, and they've they're like, oh, it'll go away in a couple of days.
Wow.
But yeah, I was battling two things throughout that fight, from round two to round three. You know what I mean?
And this was interesting. Bill, was when will you be able to get that pickup? You think or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So when O'Day took that thumb in the eye, it was unintentional.
Sure, of course.
But you said you made a conscious decision. So like, even though it's unintentional, he could have kind of backed up and shown the ref what happened, and the ref
would have
kind of given a timeout because it's like an eye poke.
Oh, okay.
But you actually made the decision. Look at that, Bill. Look at that.
Oh.
That's crazy. Look at that thumb in that eye as O'Day's landing a punch.
That's what cut me as well. And it's interesting to like people think like, oh, I got elbowed and that cut me. That's that was a 2-in-1. That one cut my eyebrow and jammed my eye at the same time.
Wow. And you made a conscious decision though not to take the timeout because you didn't want him to recover.
Yeah, I didn't want him to recover.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. Like, to have that presence of mind in battle like that and be like, okay, you couldn't see.
No.
But you were like, I'd rather just deal with one eye right now than have this guy have a second to catch his breath.
Yeah,
is that what it was?
For sure, because it comes down to mental fortitude. You know what I mean? I've wrestled over 100 matches in high school and wrestled in college. And I know when I'm tired and my opponent's tired, I can push. You know what I'm saying? I know that I can push. Not only that, but those runs in Mount Charleston, I know like, okay, I have him, and he's breaking. I'm like, I gotta keep wearing on him.
So you feel like even if you're both tired, you have the edge if you're both tired, you're like you're in safer water for you.
Yes, if we're both tired, I know for a fact I can push to just a little bit more edge. You know what I'm saying? Mentally, like I know it may not be fast, it may not be strong, but it's gonna be it's gonna be that push that I'm gonna need.
I seen that interview. He said he was going up to Mount Charleston before the fight.
I love that you watched that.
Well, you only had two weeks to take on the fight, am I right? And you just and then your whoever trained you, whoever pushed you like that, you never really did nothing like that.
Nothing. I did nothing.
And when you were up at the top of Mount Charleston looking down at the city and there's nothing else up there, that must have been like rocky at the top of the step.
I love it. You watch this. I love it.
That's cool, right? That is cool, man.
I gotta do my homework.
Oh, I love it.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man.
It must have been. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
By the way, I actually, believe it or not, I'm a big guy in case you didn't notice. I have went up those steps at where the Rocky statue at the library.
Really?
It's unbelievable.
In Philadelphia.
You're at the top. I didn't like bounce around like the Rock. Mount Charleston, though, that's my next goal. So maybe we'll go together.
I like it.
By the way, do you guys notice the snow today on the mountains?
Unbelievable.
It's, all over the valley.
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up? Where'd you grow up as a kid?
Jamaica.
Yeah, so you don't know Jamaica, especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for
we have mountains, but there's no snow.
Right. But didn't John Candy have a Jamaican bobsled team movie or something?
Not only that, but we just had a bobsled team. Qualify for the Olympics Winter Olympics.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Oh, so cool. But so you see these mountains though, and today I was like, wow, I've never seen that here. I lived here 18 years. I've never seen that.
Right.
But I can imagine going up there. You know, you're losing so much oxygen levels.
Yes.
And wow.
And it's so hard on your lungs. And, Dewey Cooper is in the car. He's driving in the car.
Dewey's
right
his
next
coach.
To you.
I thought Dewey.
Black
I thought he was jogging up there with. I really did. No, when I seen the interview, I figured he was up there with you going up the...
Jogging with me on the...
Yeah, I don't know why.
Dewey's put his time in. He's put his time
so
in.
So he says, run up there and I'll see you in a minute.
He's driving. No, he's driving in the car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. He's driving in the car and he goes and he drives up and he drives back and he goes back and forth. You know what I mean? And he always says, he's like, you can take as long as you want, but do not quit and don't let the mountain conquer you. You know what I mean?
You could take as long as you want, but do not quit.
Do not
like
stop.
So if it takes 4 hours, it takes 4 hours, whatever it is.
Don't stop and don't let the mountain conquer you. You know what I mean? And he always said, in my fights, I will face adversity. And the only way to get through adversity is to almost have demo adversities.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because during my run, I had those same demons. Like in my fight, don't get me wrong, man. In my fights, the demons were out. They were definitely out. You know what I mean? Demons, kind of like what I faced my entire life. And when I say demons, I mean the voices of, man, you're never going to make it. You just might as well just give up now so you can let yourself down now so you don't have to get let down later. You're not going to, you're good. Just quit now. Just quit now.
You
fight
that during a fight.
Did my last fight.
This fight Saturday.
I was fighting those same demons. But the beauty of it is the fact that Dewey had me running so much, I was able to conquer those demons through my runs. Wow. So when they came up in my fight, I was like, you. I was like, no, I'm not quitting, you know. But
did
they were
you
like,
think about quitting going up the mountain?
No. I was like, okay, man, this is hard.
Okay, good.
And you know what I mean? And the demons are like, man, like, this is hard, but come on, man, you just quit. You can just quit. You know, even in my fight, it's like, you know, just if you quit now, you don't have to face that letdown later on in life. So just quit now, so it'll be easier on you now. So later on, it won't be that hard. You've been doing this your entire life because you've been let down so much and you've been neglected and all this stuff. Just stop. You don't just end it now, and you know what I mean? Let him get the position and give up. You know, so
because you fought off some submission attempts.
Yes.
He had you pretty good at one point, right? Am I right? Like, he had your neck pretty good.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. Because I had the angle, you know what I mean? I knew, right, I'm like, step over the leg. You know what I mean? I have the angle. I work with Jason Manley. You know, when you work with Jason, you're prepared for everything.
Yeah.
Jason is the GOAT, man. Jason's the GOAT on the ground. Dewey's the GOAT on the feet. You know, and we were already prepared to fight a grappler, Denis Bondar. So I was like, I'm already ready for this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was like, in my head, when he pulled that guillotine, I was like, dude, I was like, look how slippery it is right now. I'm bleeding, it's sweaty. I was like, thank you.
Right.
I was like, what are you doing? So all I had to do was posture up and, you know what I mean, let him kind of shuck off and step over to the other side. And I was like, all right, I got you.
Now, you went for a lot of takedowns in round three. Was that because you were trying to, because you figured, let me just try to secure the round with a takedown?
Yes, I was trying to secure the round and I was trying to press on his gas tank. You know, because, dude, he was an Olympic cross-country runner. You know what I mean? He ran for the Olympics. So
I knew he had
the gas tank for strike. And he was a pro boxer. So I knew he had the gas tank for striking. But it's different when it comes to wrestling, you know. Everyone, what's crazy is all the podcasters and social media sources were like, yeah, man, Charles Johnson's wrestling. And I'm like, that's crazy that you guys did absolutely no research on my wrestling background. I started wrestling as a freshman, and I was a three-time state qualifier in high school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A three-time state place winner, and I went to college only 1 year. And that first year, my freshman year of college, I went to the national tournament. And I beat the number one ranked guy in the nation at the national tournament. So I'm like, I was surprised that nobody did their homework, you know?
Yeah.
And during the fight, I did watch like the first round of the fight. And one of the announcers said, Ode Osborne's only been taken down once in his entire UFC career. So I was very shocked that people counted me out and was like, yeah, Charles Johnson's wrestling. I was like, really?
Yeah.
You guys really think that his wrestling is better than mine? And so I was like, you know what? Let me show them. Let me show them what I can do. Because for me personally, it's like sometimes your ego gets in the way.
Yeah.
Of being the best, because you want to like knock people out and put on exciting fights for the fans. And Dewey is like, no, man, we want to win. We want to use your wrestling and we want to use your striking. And that's the beauty about Dewey. Even though he's a striking coach, he's like, we want to use our wrestling. We want to use our striking. We want to use everything. It's MMA. We want to mix it up.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know what? Let me show my wrestling. And it's like, people are like, oh my gosh, this guy can wrestle? I'm like, yeah, I can wrestle. I'm actually a pretty damn good wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a pretty damn good grappler. No one knows about. Half my wins come from submission. You know, I have about four or five submissions that.
Right.
But people are, you know what I mean? I think when the eyes are on somebody and everyone's trying to build up that person, they don't even think to go and look into the other person. They just focus on the buildup of this guy. Because he had a lot of hype. He had a lot of hype.
You came in as an underdog.
Yeah, he had the hype.
He was like plus we've
seen it, 135.
It was 170 week before, because I looked at it and I was like, 170. I was like, all right, you know what? Well, we'll have to show.
Does that fuel your fire a little bit too when you see that? It does, right?
Yeah, it does.
Because you're like, uh-uh.
And I'm kind of petty too, so I look at like what people say online.
Yeah.
And
he goes in one of his press conferences, he says, you know, sorry to everyone that everyone's parlay that I wrecked. You know,
look at one of my notes.
Took a lot of heat.
From people online. Listen, I have 43,000. Not a lot, but I have 43,000 followers. You're gonna get haters. It's gonna happen. You know, especially my business betting sports. You got to just block and move, because it's these telephone tough guys under anonymity. Imagine if they're saying stuff to him.
They sent him a DM.
What they could be saying to me. Yeah. I mean,
a guy sent him a crazy DM.
I love that he said, too, in the thing, it says, he said, I was going, and you were. He was going to break their legs, the guy's legs.
Yeah.
I'm going to break his leg.
Yeah.
And these people are coming after him, though.
Right.
This is a guy saying, I'm going to break someone's legs.
It's crazy.
But it's all telephone tough guys under anonymity. They never want. Yeah. We had some guy called up, last week's guest called us old guys last. No, old timers.
Old timers.
We had a 25 year old podcaster with five employees called us old timers. I immediately wanted to get on the phone and call my buddy in the Bronx, the next borough over. Buddy, go see this kid in Manhattan.
Hey, you want to know how petty I am? The first thing I did after. The first thing I did, the first interaction I had on social media after I won my fight was, so before I fought, there was one guy, and I don't remember his name. Actually, what I did was I sent this guy's tweet to myself, because he's like, I can't believe all of my favorite podcasters are betting against Ode Osborne. This is free money. I was like, wow, I'm blown away. He was the only one.
Wow.
And so before my fight, what I did was I sent that to myself. And his name was like 007 Crypto. And I sent that to myself. Yeah. And after my fight, I reshared it. And I was like, yeah, because they all saw me take a fight on 2 weeks' notice against Tyson Nam.
Yeah.
You know, with a bad weight cut.
His last fight.
I'm going to follow him now. I want to see. What is your social media?
This is the one.
Yeah. So this guy was saying something nice, though.
Yeah, no, I know he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, Ode's last fight, he took on 2 weeks' notice against a tough customer.
Yeah, I got you.
And he lost the fight. And it's like people judging that. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, come on.
But the first thing I did after I won my fight was went back and looked into my DMs, because I sent myself that. I'm like, this guy is amazing. That's a good dude. And I was like, I shared it and I thanked him. I was like, man. Thank you. You're what's up, man. Thank you. And I shared it and I was like, ha ha.
Yeah, I see it. I'm looking. Wow, great.
When
that's wonderful.
You came out of the cage and we went up so we could congratulate you as you're heading back to the locker room, you were like out of it.
I was on
what
Mars,
do you even remember
I
that?
Do. Oh,
you
I do. I do.
So what was were you in pain? Like what was happening at that point?
At the everything, man. Mentally, physically, I'd given every fiber of my being.
Wow.
Literally every fiber of my being. Like I couldn't even like raise a finger. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't even like they had to carry me like help me down the stairs. It was hard to even walk because I put my all.
Nothing
into,
left.
Nothing. I emptied the tank.
And not Bill, we're all literally fighting back happy tears.
Sure,
at this point.
Of course.
Because when you watch your friend go through that and come out on top, the feeling is
we
amazing.
We talked about it the week before. Yeah. We were like, you know, you're hoping this. You were hoping he won so bad.
Yeah.
On our podcast, we talked about it. So
so
for
exciting.
It actually to happen in front of you, and you were there, and you're sitting with his girlfriend. Oh
and
my
that
God.
Was the coolest part. It was like to see how much his girl loves him, because in round two was like the only round where I would say you were not, I don't want to say in trouble, but it was a tough round, right?
Yep.
And I looked over at her to see how, I want to see where we're at. You know, are you all right? I look over at her and she's fighting tears. She was so tough just watching, but I see big giant tears in her eyes. Not one hit the cheek though, Bill.
Wow.
Nothing hit the cheek.
Oh, she's tough.
She's tough.
Oh, she's tough.
Tasha's tough. She kept it in. She kept it in. And then when he wins, when they announce the decision, he gets his hand raised. I look over and they're flowing.
Oh,
so
wow.
To see though, tears of concern that she's fighting
how long,
back
how long
to
have
then
you guys
happy
been together?
Tears.
How long you guys together?
Man, I've known her for 3 years, but probably within the last, like, I don't even know, 8 months.
Nice. Maybe.
When I, right when I was seven, year, since I, right when I moved to Vegas, we never even, like, made anything official. It just, you know, it just happened organically.
Wow.
Yeah, it just happened organically. But wow, I, you so know, cool. But for, like, 2 years, I was chasing her.
Nice.
She was like, nope.
Wow.
I was like, nope, I got other going on. Nope. Nice. And you know what? I was like, you know what? It is what it is. You know, I moved to Vegas, and that's when I really, like, I was like, wow. Like, this girl, you know, we were kind of on, you know, kind of just talking on, like, a, you know, nothing serious when I moved to Vegas and seeing what happens. And then finally, I was like, wow. Like, I moved to Vegas, and this girl held me down the whole, like, she, it was one of the most difficult decisions I ever made, you know, leaving everybody, leaving the kids I worked at in the school, everything. Left it all behind. Moved here, and I was kind of by myself, and she just would call me every day, FaceTiming me, checking up on me, making sure I was okay. And I was like, wow, this, I've never had anybody, like, be like that before.
So, you know, awesome. I mean?
And yeah, so I had to trap her after that.
Wow.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. She's the one, though. I could just tell she's crying. And after she held it in like a tough girl.
She did.
Crying at the
she
end.
Did.
Wow. What's next? Like, what happened?
Yeah, what
next?
Is so, next? What's next?
Well, what's next is I recover, and I don't know. I see if I can fight Matt Schnell. You know, if that doesn't happen, then we see if we can fight. The only reason why I want to fight Matt Schnell is because I feel like he's a exciting fighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is an exciting fighter. And
you're seeing bonus money either
yes,
way, right?
Exactly. I'm seeing bonus money either way. And I fought every, if you look at my rap sheet, every fighter that I've fought have been just dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Every fighter, you know, every fighter. Brian Kelleher, Manil Kopp, CJ Vergara, Tyson Nam.
Yeah. Tough customers, man.
Tough. I don't take, I'm the kind of guy, ask my managers, after you ask Mick, ask anybody, as soon as they give me a name, I'm like, yeah, let's fight him.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh, well, let's look up his footage. I'm like, yeah, let's go. I'm in here to fight. Let's go.
And your opponent fell out, your original opponent.
Yep,
so his original opponent
time.
To this fell out.
Right.
For the second time.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was supposed to fight him. That happens all the time, though. I was supposed to fight him first. And then I ended up fighting Jerome Rivera at 145, a week's notice. So I'm at the airport. They call me. And they're like, yeah, your opponent, it's during COVID. You can't leave Russia. But there's a guy, you can fight him at 145. And I was like,
how much more than you at the time was that? Like 10 pounds more?
It was supposed to be a fight at 25.
Wow, 25?
Yeah, and so they're like, there's a guy at 145. It's supposed to be at 145.
More. Oh my God.
But if you looked at my record, I'm probably one of the only people that's fought in three weight classes. Maybe not actually, that's a lie. It's probably a lot of people. But I fought four fights at 145.
Oh, so you did this was already.
I'm undefeated at 145, actually.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, never lost a fight.
What do you walk around at?
Probably like 144.
Wow.
Yeah, 144, okay. 145. Right now, probably like 148.
Yeah.
In fight camp, when I'm in shape, I'm walking around at 142. It's if you think about it, you're like, man, that must be easy cut. No, it's not, because I'm so shredded at 142. It's so hard to cut that, man.
I bet.
But I get it done. Never missed weight. I've actually had two people miss weight for me. You know what I mean? I gave this guy, he asked for 5 pounds. And I was like, yeah, because I want you at your best. That's how I am. I'm the kind of guy. I'm like, I want you at your best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't want any excuses.
No, I don't want, oh, I can't make the weight. I got to pull the fight, all this stuff. And then I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, man, I can't fight now, blah, blah, blah.
After the fight, Dana White posts. So I don't know if you can tell, but right above his eyebrow, he's got stitches.
When he said it.
So Dana posts the photo. It was a pretty deep gash, man, that he had. So Dana posts that photo, and then he posts the doctor. The doctor that stitches you up.
He's a plastic surgeon.
Plastic surgeon that works for the UFC, I think, right?
So the best is, Lance told me this. He's like, you don't want a doctor to stitch you up.
Right.
You want a plastic surgeon. And they have the best plastic surgeon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to the UFC and their plastic surgeon.
That's great.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. And so Dana posts the pic of him stitched up, like back to back. So then we go to dinner after the fight, after the hospital, all that. We go to dinner up at Red Rock. And we take a picture and I send it to Dana. And I said, other than his, you know, he had a patch over his eye at that point. I said, you know, Ode's looking good now, you know, whatever. And then Dana sends me, I said, we're at Red Rock having dinner. Dana sends me a picture of a blackjack table at Red Rock. And oh, I said, wow. What, you're here? I said, can we come say hi after dinner? And he's like, yeah, come on. So we went in and said hi to Dana after the fight. And Dana gave him a big hug and, you know, saw his warrior all patched up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, talked for a little bit. He was like, yeah, man, I grew up with, like, you know, I came up with Dewey. He actually knew Dewey. But Dewey's so humble, man. That's what I love about Dewey. He doesn't talk about any of the people that he knows, but everybody knows him.
Wow.
Everyone that I've met, like from the highest of the highest up, you know, in the food chain. They're like, yeah, man, Dewey's great. I've known him for a long time. And I'm like, I just found out he was a starting wide receiver for UNLV. He doesn't brag or talk about nothing. He is so humble, man. I love that guy. That guy.
Oh, cool. Great. You have a great team behind you.
For real.
And man, that was really a fun night watching that.
It was, man.
You want to go over some of these fights?
So let's talk about this week, Ode. There's some crazy fights this weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously, John Jones is back in action at heavyweight. Mm. We'll get to him in a minute. Let's talk about the Jeff Neal fight. I told you I like Jeff Neal and
Shaf.
Yeah, Shavkat.
Shavkat?
Rachmanov.
Yeah. Shavkat Rachmanov.
All right. Who are you liking that?
I like Rachmanov.
You do?
Yes.
Big favorite.
He's interesting. You know why I like him? Because he always looks like he's asleep, and he's just like so calm. Everything he does, he's so calm. Those guys are dangerous, man. The guys that are just like super calm, and they're just coming at you with just hard, you know, just so calm. He always looks like he's just like eating a sandwich in there when he's fighting, man. Those guys are, I think, very dangerous. But Jeff Neal is also
no joke.
It's not going to be an easy
attack. Plus 390. I mean, we're the value people, right?
Yeah. No, always.
You're not betting on a minus 490 fighter ever, are you?
I can't lay more than that on any fight because I mean, just anything can happen. A thumb in the eye.
If Ode's fighting for the belt and he's minus 490, you're just laying off the fight. You're not betting.
I'm just rooting.
Right. I like that.
Smart man.
Okay, the next fight we were talking about before we started rolling, Valentina Shevchenko, the champ, minus 730. Alexa Grasso is plus 530.
Much more than that. Plus 605 here.
Plus 605.
Yeah.
Where is that?
In Circa here in town.
At Circa?
Yeah.
You were saying you give that a chance. You give Grasso a chance.
I don't believe that she will win, but I definitely think she can win, only because I think she has cleaner hands. I think Valentina has cleaner kickboxing.
Yep.
But I think Grasso has cleaner hands. Her boxing is better than Valentina's. I do believe, like I said, Valentina has the takedown and the kickboxing, but Grasso has cleaner hands. She's so calm. But Valentina's a force. You know what I mean? Like I said, she has the takedown and the control.
Yeah.
And the kickboxing. You know what I mean? So it's I do give Grasso a chance.
There's someone that plus 6-1 that gives a puncher's chance. To that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean it's a fight. Anything can happen.
How can I lay 8? It's 8:30 there. How do I lay minus 8:30 on that? Over 8-1.
Now I know
like
people that will put that in a parlay. It's crazy, right?
Yes. Only because Grasso's hands. If you watch her, man. If you watch that girl's, watch her fight and watch how composed she is when she strikes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's so composed. I look at things like that. I would like Shavkat, very composed.
You really are a student of the game. I mean, you are. I mean, you know your stuff.
I try.
Yeah. Okay. John Jones is returning after a 3-year layoff at heavyweight. Do you facing Ciryl Gane? Do you place anything on the 3-year layoff? Or I think it's almost 3 years, something like that. Is that a big deal, or do people make that a big deal when it's really not?
Anybody else, I would say it's a big deal. But there's
Dominic Cruz do it and come back. GSP did it and went up to middleweight and took the belt from Bisping.
Yep.
The guys that are at that level, man. It doesn't matter, right?
The Michael Jordans of the world.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The Michael Jordans of the world, in my opinion, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So someone came in town here and bet a very serious bet on the underdog here. Just want to let you know.
Really?
On John Jones?
No, on the underdog. Cereal Gone?
Cereal Gone.
Oh, Gone's the underdog now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it flipped, actually, because I think Rob, I don't know if you know for a fact, but didn't Jones open as the dog?
Really?
Well, it flipped.
I see Jones here minus 170 around town. Caesars, DraftKings, West
Jones Gate. Opened as a dog. Rob
Circa,
just put
though,
in the notes.
Circa, though,
yeah.
is easily the best price. If you want to bet on Jones, go down to Circa. You can lay $1.55 compared to $1.70 around town.
To me, that is the best, other than if he opened as a dog. But like to get John Jones, who, as far as I'm concerned, has never lost a fight. The one loss that you see there, Bill, came as a disqualification for an illegal elbow that shouldn't even be illegal.
Why would Jones come back, by the way? Is this a money thing?
He had said he was going to come back first off, he was suspended for a while.
Yeah.
So he didn't have a choice for the layoff. I think he was suspended for 2 years.
Yeah. But John, he's got a lot. He's a millionaire, right?
I would think. I would think John Jones is okay. He made a lot of money, man.
Sponsors and stuff like that.
Yeah, unless he squandered it, he's got it.
But this fight, now, and I asked you this, he'll make 7 figures in this fight?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
For sure. And, you know, he was a light heavyweight. So he was 205. Okay. Now he's fighting in heavyweight. So it takes time to do it right, to put that mass on. It takes time.
Right. Are you guys going Saturday? Are you going Saturday?
I'm going Saturday. Are you? You're going, right?
Yes, I'll be there. Nice. I'll be there. I'm definitely going Saturday.
Yeah. Nice. So do you give... Gon a chance? Do you?
Think? I do.
You do, of course. Gon's a great fighter.
Yeah, his striking is incredible.
But now, if Ngannou took Gon down, John Jones is gonna have a field day with Gon.
He can. He can. I would believe that Gon's been working his wrestling though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's not stupid.
Or do you think John comes back at heavyweight and wants to like put a stamp on it and wants to show people?
Depends.
I'll stand with him.
It depends, man. It depends.
Is that the right way to go? Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like guys like Michael Chandler or even like a Gaethje, right? Gaethje has accomplished wrestling. I don't think he has a takedown in the UFC. I don't think he has any.
Well, there's a difference between Gaethje and Chandler and John Jones, right?
Yeah.
Chandler, he fights silly. He fights stupid. Now
he's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. Now John Jones
to his own detriment.
Yes. Now John Jones, he's got that Mamba mentality of you know what? Whatever you're good at, I'm gonna beat you at that. DC, you're good at wrestling? I'm gonna beat you at wrestling. Glover, you're good at striking? I'm gonna beat you at striking. You know what I mean? Teixeira, you're good at fighting in that phone booth? I'm gonna get in that phone booth and beat you in that phone booth. So he's got that like, oh man, it's that Mamba mentality. Yeah. You know, it's insane. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now will you Robert said here?
Yeah.
I think Jones Eagle will make him want to stand with him. So is that something you guys think is going to happen?
Yeah, like I could
see. Does Jones still have that ego from 3 years ago?
I don't know.
Is he coming back with that same?
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember that.
Seems like he buried the hatchet with Daniel Cormier.
I did see that.
You know, he had a couple wars with Cormier.
He even said that he's welcome to corner him. To commentate. To commentate, which I think he is, right?
Cormier? Yeah, I think he is. Yeah. I think it's Rogan. This is Rogan's first event of the year.
Oh, man. Wow.
Shockingly. Okay.
So
yeah,
he only does certain ones.
Rogan does pay-per-views, but only domestic. He doesn't go out of the country
and do
the pay-per-views. So,
okay. By the way, I've told you I watched some of his. I don't really have a time during football season.
You just discovered the Joe Rogan podcast recently,
yeah?
And you love it.
Comedian, it's Louis C.K.
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
He's great.
I thought and Rogan was great. I thought it was really good.
Rogan's fantastic. Yeah. Have you met Rogan?
Me? No, I've never met him. Have you met him?
One time briefly, first time I met Dana, real briefly, I met Rogan, but...
He's called my fight, so I wouldn't consider that as, like, meeting him. Like, right. I feel like meeting him is, like, out of the fight setting.
Right.
You know, he's called my fight and stuff like that, you know. I fought in Madison Square Garden, he called that one as well. There's a couple times, I think, but I wouldn't consider that, you know, after the fight announcement, like, hey, you know, I wouldn't consider that meeting somebody. I think that's his... He's in... job setting. I would love to meet him on a personal setting, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, was this your most satisfying win?
100% my most satisfying win.
Because and which is interesting because you've had wins by knockout.
Yeah, I've had
so both. How is what tell t- I know why yeah. I think but just for the people listening, why would this be the most satisfying when it went the distance?
Because I had to go into the trenches for the win, and those are the ones that really level you up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyone can hit somebody and they go out, but not anyone could come out, you know,
digging deep.
Digging deep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And not just that, but
the nut shot. The gash, yes. The eye.
And the fans got to see everything from me. They got to see a little grappling, you know what I'm saying, defense. They got to see some wrestling. They got to see some striking. Yeah. They got to see me everywhere.
And a chin.
Yeah. They got to see me everywhere.
Bill, he got hit with a couple elbows.
Yeah.
Hurt me.
So doing all this, and then you have to hear, and now we go, and then we have a split decision. You must be like, what the
man,
it's insane, right?
Oh yeah. My God! Like you just gave left your heart out there.
Yeah,
and you split decision. When you know you won,
right?
But that's, you know what I mean. That's just the game, you know. When there's a guy that's trying to be built up, going into the fight immediately, you know, like. You gotta go. Wow. You gotta go to war with him because if it's close at all, they're giving it to him. Oof. You know what I'm saying? Which is, it's fine because when I'm eventually at someday, hopefully I'll be the guy that they want to build up. You know what I'm saying? So my time will come. It's his. It was his time. You know what I'm saying? It was his time to be built. So I expected them to give him. You know what I mean? To give him the close split because there's a saying that goes when you're the champion. You have to take it from the champion.
Yeah.
The close fights always should go to the champion. I don't care what anyone says.
I agree.
Because when you're the champion, you got to take
it. It's
got to
be decisive. It's got to be no contest, argument about it.
Yes. So I had to take, not that saying he's a champion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I had to take what was mine. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is my seventh fight in the UFC. I'm undefeated at the Apex. Like, my in my head, I'm like, this is my cage. This is my town. You're coming here, and this is my setting. Like I'm gonna take that from you. You know, I'm like,
he's getting me excited. Bill. He's getting me fired up.
I'm like Charles Johnson. You're taking everything I work for.
Yeah, I could see. He is so well spoken.
He's amazing.
I could see why he has his own podcast.
Yeah,
he's so well spoken.
Yeah,
thank Jesus.
Yeah. And great. He's just a people person. Man, I did not know him. I met him in June.
Yeah,
June or July, right?
Yeah,
at the Apex at Dana White Contender Series. Mm-hmm. Well, you are the champion. You're the future champ in my eyes at 125. And Bill Krakenberger here is the champion when it comes to sports betting, which is why I wanted to tell everybody about the Crack Wins app.
Look,
you can get it at thecrackwins.com. You can go to Crack, get it on Apple, Google Play. I know you're not a huge sports lover, but if you were going to bet on sports, Ode Osborne, listen to me. Mm. You would step one, download the Crack Wins app and become a Crack Wins user.
Go around to some of the sports books that I get thrown out of in town.
And, literally, you gets can thrown
beard,
out.
You can beard in for me.
Yeah.
Not a lot to bet at none of the stations casinos.
I don't know a thing. I don't know a thing about betting or anything.
Good
like
for
that.
You though.
Yeah.
Stay away.
But tell Ode if he was going to bet.
Yes. But you moved to this town before I get into a little
the free money
sponsorship.
Yes.
You moved into this town though. This is a town of vice. Lots of vices here. You know, I always say drinking, drugs, women, gambling.
Yeah, I know.
It's a town of vice. So to not be a gambler is I'd rather have you not gambling.
Yeah. I get it. But tell him about the free money.
But here's the thing though. but here's the thing though. I'm too much of a Jesus freak. You know what I mean? That's just it. I've owned it. I'm a Jesus freak. I'm too much of a Jesus freak. Okay. I can't do it.
No gambling, no strip clubs.
I've gambled before. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
I've definitely, because you got to experience it.
Right.
You can't come to Vegas and not
be
like, oh, what, you know what I mean? But then I had to come.
You work so hard for your money too.
Yeah. But then I had to, the come to Jesus meeting where I'm like, okay, I probably shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
Oh, all right, God. Okay, fine. I won't do it anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I've done it all. I've done it, you know what I mean? But it's like you come to Jesus and you're like, all right, fine. I'm not going to gamble anymore. But, you know, that's just me.
So now I'm going to go into saying, hey, we got college basketball.
If you were going to sin,
golf.
Let's just tell you about our sponsor, WSN.
No, yeah.
Tell the people,
well,
Bill.
Well, first let's go into what I have going. There's still PGA.
Oh, right.
I'm going to the Masters this year, by the way.
Yeah.
But betting on golf, betting on smaller market stuff we talked about. We got some drafts coming up.
Baseball season around the corner.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff.
Lots
going
of opportunity
on.
To make some money.
Yeah, no. So register on crackwins.com and the Crack Wins app. Also, you get a free month of plays right now, too. So sign up. But let's go into WSN, which I look up there every week. I have their site on here. Not only every week, I mean, I look at it all. I looked at it a lot. Recently, because someone asked me about bonuses. He was going to Colorado. I said, listen, go to WSN.com, pull up the state of Colorado, and you know all the states are there, and you can see the bonuses you have. They have negotiated some really good bonuses for you to sign up for FanDuel, DraftKings. But then there's also these places like that I don't even know. Owner's Box, $500 free. Outlast, $200 deposit match. I like deposit matches. So you put money up, they give you the money. I can't begin to tell you how much money I have made on deposit match bonuses.
Yeah.
In the past couple of years alone, probably,
six figures?
Oh, yeah. Probably 200,000.
He says, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He said it confidently.
He didn't
too.
Even skip a beat.
Yeah, he
no,
said it confidently.
I mean,
right?
I have places that were giving back. I was putting 50,000 up. They were giving me $10,000.
And by the way, if he says it's probably 200, it's probably 400. No, he's just being modest.
John came across the country to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And, you know, John put like a lot of money up, and you've seen there's bonus, there's giant bonus money.
Yeah.
There was really at one time they were overdoing it, but they kind of lost that. But yet WSN has negotiated these type of bonuses for you, where you could just sign up for sports books. You know, listen, you have to roll the money over. I'm not just giving you the money, but it's a good head start, especially when you have good information like from myself. So, anyway, all right, latest sportsbook promo codes are on there.
Yeah,
some really good bonuses state by state. Of course, all of our podcasts are on there, including this one will be up there next week. Latest prediction odds and news, all different articles on literally horse racing, golf, tennis is on here. I'm looking at the different ones. Soccer, which is one of the biggest sports bets in the world. People don't realize because in the States it's not as popular as it is internationally.
Football.
That's called football, correct.
The real football for them, right?
Yeah. No, it's amazing how much money is bet on that sport internationally. Yeah. U.S. sports betting news also, guys, all the different states that are trying to get sports betting. But there's an interesting article on here this week. It's actually how Mattress Mack crossed the state lines to win the $75 million he did. There's some legalities.
Did you hear about that, Ode?
No,
taxes.
I did not.
So tell him who Mattress Mack is real quick.
He owns a chain of stores in Houston, and he won $75 million on a bet recently.
On the World Series.
He'll give his customers
poker?
Money back.
No, baseball.
World Series.
Wow. Yeah, baseball.
Yeah, baseball. He'll give his customers a deal. He'll say, listen, you get your mattress free. You're going to pay for your mattress, but if the Houston Astros wins the World Series, you don't have to pay. You get your mattress free.
Wow.
Astros won. So he had to go hedge this bet because he was given $75 million back.
Yeah.
A little bit less, actually. And there's a good article on him on there.
About paying taxes, right?
Listen, I pay a quarterly estimated tax on my gaming win. So I know sometimes some jurisdictions like Louisiana, if I win money in Louisiana, technically they have to take their 8% right out of the money. If you go to win a jackpot in a casino, they take the money out on a slot machine. It's ridiculous.
Correct.
I don't want to gamble there.
Right.
So different states have different laws. So a good article there on WSN.com. And all your gambling needs in one spot, WSN.
Well said, Bill Krabenberger. Yeah. Mm. Well, Ode, final thought. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for coming in. Great to meet you.
And, you've been pulled in so many directions this week. You sent me a schedule of all the stuff you're doing today. You've got three or four other shows you're doing today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I have to go get an x-ray on my finger and a couple of stuff I'm doing.
Yeah?
It's the life that you live after. There's no, after you get done fighting, it's like you think that, my manager, my Iridium has, they have a guy for everything. There's a person that does sponsorships.
Yep.
There's a person that schedules all of your interviews.
Yep.
There's a person that books your fights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But after fight week is like interview. That's interview season.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's like,
They pay for, UFC pays for all the doctor's things?
Yes, from your fights. Yes.
Good.
If you get it injured in your fight, they pay for all of that.
Good.
So
this has been great. Thanks for coming in.
This was fun.
All right, guys.
We'll see you. We'll see you next time you're in the cage, and I'll see you Saturday at the fights, and we'll see all of you guys next week on Wisecracks.